Please turn with me in your Bibles here this evening to the book of James, James chapter 1. As James teaches us about testing and temptations, the difference between them and how the Lord uses them. James 1, beginning at verse 1, reading through verse 18. James 1, beginning at verse 1. Congregation, hear the word of the Lord as it is read for you tonight. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all, without a reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to death, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. May his Holy Spirit bless it to our hearts as we consider it together this evening. I draw your attention to our text, which is verses 13 through 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Let's ask God's guiding hand upon his word as it's brought forth this evening. Heavenly Father, indeed, may you teach us, indeed, about testings and temptations. And we would pray, Heavenly Father, indeed, may you lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is our prayer. Teach us on these things. Grant us a removal of all distractions. Send your Holy Spirit and rich power upon us that we may draw ever closer to you. And may we see our great Savior who guides, protects, and loves us. Grant this blessing to us. We ask you this in Jesus' most perfect name. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer that we study this evening has confused believers for millennia. In it, as you well know, we ask God that he lead us not into temptation. And yet, James very specifically states in verse 13 of our text this evening that God never tempts anyone. This is why confusion reigns. Because you see, it sounds like our Lord then is teaching us to ask God to not do what he's not going to do anyway. And that sounds odd to us, doesn't it? Well, beloved, this confusion is cleared up when we understand that the Greek word that our Lord uses for temptation in his model prayer given to his disciples is also the very same Greek word that our Lord's brother uses in our text for this evening. And that one word has two closely related but very different meanings depending on their context. This brings us to the first point of the message this evening, a crucial distinction that we need to make. The Greek word that I'm referring to is peros. Peros. And on the one hand, it can mean a test, while on the other hand, it can mean a temptation. In fact, James uses it both ways just in this very first chapter that we've just read. Look at verse 2 of chapter 1 with me. Verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials or tests of various kinds. There's the Greek word, peros. And it's translated as trials or tests because James is speaking of this in a positive way. How these perosmoses, the plural form, come to us from the hand of Almighty God in order to help build us up in our faith, to strengthen us, draw us closer to him. Keep reading. James explains this. Verse 3, for you know that the testing of your faith, there it is again, produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So this perosmos that comes to us from the hand of God is beneficial and a blessing to us when we stand that test. But then in verses 13 and 14, James uses, again, the very same Greek word, but in a negative way. He adds the alpha primitive in front of it, aperostos. And that signifies that this test which God gave us has now turned ugly. In other words, we've failed the test. And we have allowed that thing to be used by Satan as a temptation instead, which hurts our faith instead of it building us up in our faith. And so the very same issue, the very same situation that arises in our life, God uses it to test us, to bring blessing to us, even while Satan tries to use that thing to tempt us, to eat away at our faith, to destroy our walk with God. Let me give you several examples, and maybe that will help understand the difference between these two. You know, I remember times when I was younger and living in West Michigan here growing up, where Sunday afternoons always seemed to be the nicest day of the whole week. In the summer times, it would be sunny and hot, a day just calling out for you to go to the lake and enjoy all the recreational opportunities that we have available to us here in West Michigan. And it especially seemed that way the summer after Denise and I were first married. And we were first establishing the spiritual habits and practices that we would follow as a new family, a new home. And it seemed that Sunday afternoons were just calling out to us to come out and enjoy God's creation. What could be wrong with that? Yes, I knew well how I had been brought up. I knew what my dad would say to me about that. But I was married now, and I'm the head of my own home now. I can make my own decisions now. Right? And you see, beloved, right there was the perosmos, the test. God using that beautiful Sunday afternoon weather to see if I would keep the Sabbath day holy, as he commanded, and be in church on Sunday evening, as he expected. While the devil was using that very same beautiful weather to tempt me, to have me go and enjoy myself and set aside my spiritual upbringing and keep me from the communion of the saints. Because you see, the devil hates it when we gather here in worship together. That was a perosmos. One situation that was both a test from God and a temptation from Satan. I can give you another example. In every one of my churches that I've served, the five churches that I served, we had farmers in the church. And I know that those farmers also faced a perosmos, usually about twice a year, at spring planting time and at fall harvest. At both those times, you see, in the spring and the fall, it was inevitable that Sunday had the best weather of all the week to be out in the fields working. And the forecast always seemed to be, for the next week, to be nothing but rain. And so you see the temptation, in order to be a productive and efficient farm, to make sure that the farm prospers, well, you should get out on your tractor and get to work on Sunday. Sure, you can go to church in the morning, give God his hour, but then go. Do what you need to do. You got to make hay while the sun shines, right? But the Lord says that in order for you to be a spiritually productive and efficient farm, you need to keep my Sabbath day holy. The Lord would say to you, let me worry about the weather and about how prosperous your farm may or may not be. I could give you another example. It's about tax time now. I don't know if we have any CPAs here in our church, but I know that they work long, long hours come March and April. And the temptation must be strong. Again, come to church in the morning, but boy, after lunch, if I just go to my desk, think how many of those forms I could fill out. The examples could go on and on, beloved. But the very same situation, God using as a test for our faith in order to better develop our trust in Him. Even while that very same situation used by the devil as a temptation to destroy our faith and ruin our Christian testimony to the world around us. And that is exactly why our Savior commands his followers then to pray, lead us not into temptation. Perosmos. In other words, Father, do not allow the situations that we face in life to lead us away from you, but instead may they draw us ever closer to you. So you see, with this sixth request, we're asking our Heavenly Father to not allow such a big test into our life that we are sure to fail it, that it becomes a temptation which then destroys our faith. In this petition, we're praying, Heavenly Father, because of the great and finished work of our Savior Jesus Christ done on my behalf, may you always keep your Holy Spirit in rich measure in my heart so that I can then stand fast, resist these temptations that are sure to come, and may I be drawn closer to the Lord through them. Notice how James puts this. In verse 12, I didn't choose this as part of our text, but it plays right into this. Verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. There it is again, perosmos. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. You see, if you endure that temptation that Satan brings and which God allows, then you have passed God's test. But if you fail that test, if you fall for Satan's lie, then you have no one else to blame but yourself. So there's the crucial distinction that we must keep in mind when we talk about testings and temptations. And that's the second thing that James teaches us in our text for tonight. In verse 14, we have a painful confession that we must make. A painful confession. Look at verse 14 with me. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. Notice where that temptation comes from, our own desires. So understand, James tells us here that we cannot blame God for our moral failures. We cannot even blame Satan for our moral failures. Now, understand that properly. Satan loves it when we fail. Make no mistake about it. That's his whole goal for living. But Satan cannot make us sin. All he does is dangle the juicy bait in front of us in the hopes that we bite. We're the ones who decide to bite. And in fact, that's the very imagery that James uses in verse 14 to make his point. James uses two very unique Greek words in this verse that come from the fishing industry. Translated as lured, that's the first word, or drawn away, you might have a translation that has that in there. And then secondly, enticed. Lured and enticed. That last word, enticed, refers to the bait that the fisherman uses to catch the eye of the fish. The shiny spoon, the brightly colored bait. It sparks a response from the fish then, a desire for that food perhaps, or an angry response of protection. Either way, the fish strikes, the hook is set, and that fish is dragged away into the waiting net of death. And understand, beloved, Satan does not play catch and release. So too, James says, when we fall into sin, that test which God sent our way to build us up and to strengthen us in our dependence upon the Lord, Satan then turns it into a temptation, a shiny lure that sparks a sinful bite from us. And that is neither God's fault for bringing us the test nor Satan's fault for dangling the lure. It is entirely our fault for choosing to sin. We decided to bite Satan's lure. Our own desires demanded satisfaction, and we were dragged away to our own destruction. That's the painful confession that we must make, that we so often are our own worst enemy when it comes to sin and temptations. So again, another good reason for us to pray this sixth petition: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And it is that exact destruction which James explains next in our final verse of our text, verse 15. Look at that with me. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Here's the third point of the message this evening, the deadly conclusion. Notice the slippery sequence of sin that James relates to us. Notice how quickly, even effortlessly, we slide, first just eyeing the lure, contemplating the sin, and then secondly deciding to take that first bite. And then thirdly, ending up as lunch in the devil's frying pan of hell. The devil's lure kicks in our desire. Our desire gives birth to sin. We tell ourselves, well, you know, just one little sin won't hurt. I can easily turn my back on this when I so choose. I can give up this sin, no problem. What we tell ourselves. But you see, because we are born sinners, sin feels good. It strokes us in every positive way, and so we choose to sin a little more, and then a little more, and still more. And when sin is full grown, in other words, when we're not even resisting anymore, it brings forth death. And realize this is not just a physical death that James is referring to. He's using death as a euphemism for eternal damnation. We look back on our ruined lives and we think how quickly it all happened. In the blink of an eye, it seems, we went from being a member in good standing in the church, singing in the choir, to spending eternity in the fires of hell. The test that God had sent our way to strengthen our faith, the devil used to tempt us and to destroy our faith. All because we're sinners who love to sin more than we love our God. You see, this is what we must confess. We must recognize how slippery our own sinfulness is so that we can properly pray the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, that evil is so easily within me, still raising its ugly head inside of me. Yes, I try to fight it. The old man fighting with the new man, as Paul puts it. But please, Lord, help me to control my desires so that I do not set my heart on the devil's lures that he dangles so constantly in front of me. Do not let me justify my sin once I've fallen into it so that it grows uncontrollably within me. Lord, show me instead the cross of my Savior Jesus Christ so that when sin does come to me, arises easily within me, through your Holy Spirit's power, Heavenly Father, draw me to yourself. Show me my wounded Savior. Because only in Jesus is there any hope for us. Right there, congregation. Jesus Christ is how God's test can turn into a blessing. When it pushes us into the arms of our Savior, then the devil is pushed away and our hope is found in Christ. We look to Jesus. That's why I wanted us to read from 1 Corinthians 10 here this evening. And I want us even to turn to that now again, just briefly. Turn to that. You're not far from it there in James. To 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to point out just a couple of those verses. We won't read the whole thing over again. We no need for that. But especially as we discuss this crucial topic of tests and temptations, I want us to see with our own eyes, write it down in your notes, this promise that is given to us here. Start at verse 12. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 10, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." Anyone here who thinks that they can handle sin, no problem, I've got it all covered. Well, be careful, because the devil is powerful, far more powerful than we are. Walk carefully, circumspectly. But then Paul goes on to confess in that next verse that the devil's not all powerful. There is hope for us living in this fallen world, because God only allows the devil to do what he wants him to do. He will not allow Satan to set before you more than you can stand. Look at this promise. This is the verse I want you to remember. "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." This is the promise that we must remember. Listen to what Paul tells us here. Yes, he admits temptations are going to come to you, but God knows exactly how much temptation you can bear. And the only way that you can withstand even the slightest of temptations is by looking for and following after the way of escape that God has provided for you. And beloved, understand, Jesus is that way of escape. Only by grace alone, through faith alone, can we escape the devil's lures and rest secure in the arms of Christ. Jesus, the book of Hebrews tells us, was tempted in every way, just like we are, yet was without sin. And Jesus is closer than a brother, the book of Hebrews tells us, that he will stay right there beside us, leading us through each and every test, so that our faith in him will grow ever stronger. So this is the end result that we are essentially asking from God when we make this sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer: lead us not into temptation. In other words, Lord, do not allow your tests to become within me the devil's temptation that ruins my faith. Lord, save me from myself, we're praying essentially, for I am helpless to stand against the devil's onslaught. But we also pray, beloved, deliver us from evil. Remind me constantly, Father, of the deliverance that you give from these temptations in Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, our Savior. How he lived that perfect life of righteousness, resisting every temptation that was brought to him by the devil. And how he also paid the perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. For all those times when my desires have given birth to sin, let me see my wondrous Savior, Jesus Christ. As we close here tonight, please turn with me to Lord's Day 52. In the backs of your Psalter hymnals, it's found on page 896. If you take your forms and prayers book out, it's on page 257. Lord's Day 52, question and answer 127, reinforces everything that James has taught us here tonight. Take notice of what we confess in this question and answer. 127, what does the sixth petition mean? The answer comes, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, means we are so weak that we cannot stand on our own for a moment. And our sworn enemies, notice these three, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. Notice how we confess two great truths here, beloved. How we ourselves are helpless in this spiritual fight. If you think you are strong, you're guaranteed to fail on your own. And secondly, how it is only the Lord, through the strengthening power of his Holy Spirit, who will see us through these tests, who will ensure that we will not be defeated in this, but instead will win the complete victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wondrous testimony we have of the assurance we have in Jesus Christ. But keep reading there. We have two more question and answers to close out this Lord's Day. Look at those as we conclude our study of the Lord's Prayer. And how do you, question and answer 128, how do you conclude this prayer? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This means we have made all these petitions of you because, as our all-powerful King, you are both willing and able to give us all that is good. And because your holy name, and not we ourselves, should receive all the praise forever. And 129, what does that little word, Amen, express? Amen means this shall truly and surely be. For it is as much more certain that God has heard my prayer than I feel in my heart that I desire such things from him. What a beautiful testimony we have here, beloved. I don't think I've mentioned to you yet in our going through the different petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Let me just say, if you ever have difficulty in your prayer life, if you ever feel like your prayer life is dry, that the Lord's not hearing or answering your prayers, turn to your catechism. Each one of the question and answers involving these six petitions is written as a prayer. Look them over. Walk your way through each one of those answers, and you will be richly blessed as you lift them up to the Lord as petitions from your heart. Beloved, we have been given a wondrous testimony because we have a wondrous God who has given us our only Savior, Jesus Christ. Look to Him, trust in Him, go out through those doors and serve Him this week. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do give thanks that indeed You have given us the complete victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we have not seen that complete victory yet. We yearn for the day when our eyes will behold the things our minds cannot even comprehend. That day when You take us home. That day when perhaps the clouds part and the trumpet sounds and our Lord descends. Father, whichever way comes first, we look forward to that day. For we will be found clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We will hear Your words of blessing. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, be with these Your people. Guide them and bless them as they walk in this still fallen, sinful world, as they still have their own worst enemy, themselves, fighting against this. Lord, help us in this. Send Your Holy Spirit in rich measure upon each and every one, whatever the temptation these people may be facing. I do not know it. You know it full well. Guide them and bless them. Keep them close to Your heart. We ask You this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.